unforgettable summer event at Liberty Mountain USA. For tickets and full event details, go to libertymountainusa.com, click on events, and get your tickets today.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second half hour of hour number two here on this Thursday, July 2nd, 2026 edition. Kind of taking an overview of everything that happened legislatively this week in Lansing. The process that we're looking for to come up with the budget, to kind of work things out, to get it done before the September 30th deadline. Well, a couple of bills that were getting wrapped up. House Bill 5727, sponsored by State Representative Mike Hoadley of Augray, Republican, would eliminate Michigan's youth work permit and registration systems and instead require employers to obtain and retain proof of a minor's age for duration for employment. The acceptable forms of documents would include a birth certificate, driver's license, school records, an age certificate, or even a passport. Employers would no longer need to obtain work permit for minors under the legislation that was approved in the House yesterday. A move Republicans say would cut unnecessary red tape, but the Democrats warned that it weakens the safeguards designed to protect child workers. The bill also repeals provisions governing the issuance and revocation of work permits and removes the role of schools and the Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity in having to approve the minors' employment. These improvements, Hoadley said, via his legislation, preserves existing protections on hours, prohibited occupations, and workplace safety, but yet making it easier for young people to gain job experience. The bill reduces administrative burdens on families, schools, and small businesses while preserving all core protections for minors, including their work hour limits, prohibited occupations, and all safety standards. Employers would still need to verify age and comply with the law, but without the added paperwork and delay, discouraging hiring young workers. Hoadley said, young people deserve the chance to build their resume, get valuable work skills, earn money for college or their family's needs, and feel like they are contributing to their community, particularly in rural communities where businesses rely on these young entry-level workers. The Democrats, though, argued the measure goes too far by eliminating oversight mechanisms by the government. Of course. Big Brother. State Representative Betsy Cofia said the bill would eliminate the official record of which employers are hiring children and remove important checks on the types of jobs minors could perform, the number of hours they work, and the wages they earn. Cofia, the Democrat state rep from Traverse City, said the bill absolves employers from a fundamental responsibility of verifying a child's age. That's not true. That's actually a bald-faced lie. The bill says birth certificate, driver's license, or any other legal proof of age. Betsy Kofia went on to say it also removes the requirement to obtain permission from the child's school. The child's school. Why would we have to get permission from the school? The parents are the parents. She then goes on to say the bill could be argued that it eliminates the obligation to secure permission from the child's parents or guardian, and therefore affecting or eliminating their parental rights. That's not true either. Where do they make up these arguments from? Betsy, did you even read the bill? Finally, Kofia argued the legislation strips protections from child exploitation and trafficking, and actively reduces accountability for employers who prey upon a child's vulnerability. Oh my God, this woman's giving me a headache. Another communist Democrat, Phil Skaggs, state representative from Grand Rapids, had similar concerns. This bill would strike away child labor protections in the state of Michigan. Well, the bill itself retains most of the state's existing restrictions on youth employment. Minors under 16 years of age would still be limited in the number of hours they could work, prohibited from working during school hours, and restricted from working more than 6 days in 1 week. The measure also preserves restrictions on minors working in establishments where alcohol is sold. Additionally, the legislation requires schools to notify the employers if a working student is not in good standing with the school. The bill defines very clearly attendance, academic, and even disciplinary issues with the student. Well, the House approved the measure 57-49, voting with only Republicans for the bill and Democrats, all of them, voting against it. Why are they so against young people getting job experience? Oh, that's right. They want to keep them in the government schools. They don't want them getting real-world common sense work experience. Well, kind of an interesting bill wrapping up the legislative session. House Bill 5152. Two-bill package would help, according to the Democrats, prevent seniors, low income, and less educated individuals who don't understand their rights from losing their homes during a foreclosure. This is kind of interesting. Democrat Joey Andrews, St. Joseph, and a Republican, Brad Paquette from Niles, said homeowners are often targeted by companies that show up right before a public auction to pressure people into quickly signing quick claim deeds to their homes. While they say these companies often pay a small sum of money, the homeowner ends up giving away important legal rights without fully understanding it. What's often lost is the right to buy their home back after the auction, during the redemption period, their right to stay in the house for a little while and then try to raise the money to buy it back from the tax sale. Any proceeds from the sale that exceed what they owed should be theirs to keep. Well, House Bill 5152 would require anyone purchasing a home in the foreclosure gap period, quote unquote, would have to give the homeowner a detailed notice explaining the rights that they're giving up by selling the property, including the right to redeem the home, remain in the home during the redemption period, and collect any surplus proceeds. If the property sells at auction for more than the mortgage debt, not just taxes that are owed. Buyers would also have to disclose the property's estimated value, the mortgage balance, the tax balance, and show how much the equity the homeowner would be forfeiting. The seller would then have a mandatory 7-day cooling off period before signing any sale documents. If the proposed buyer failed to provide the required disclosure, the bill would allow the homeowner to sue for damages based on their equity they lost in the transaction, with double damages available for willful violations as well as attorney fees if they prevail in a lawsuit. The bill also requires foreclosure notices and cancellation notices to be recorded with county registered of deeds, creating a public record of a pending foreclosure and canceled sale. Tybard is also House Bill 5153. This would establish similar protections when a homeowner sells or assigns the right to redeem a property after a foreclosure sale. The required notice would explain the property's value, the amount needed to redeem it, the value of the redemption rights, and the payments being offered. It would clearly state the date the redemption period expires. Again, 7-day cooling off period would allow the redemption period deadline to be reexamined during the 7-day process. In the House, both the bills passed 102-3. Democrat Joe Tate of Detroit, Julie Brixey, Democrat of Okemos, and Steve Cara from Three Rivers voted no. We'll wrap up legislative session. Last segment of hour number two. We'll be right back.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put $4,747 in your pocket every year. And seniors deserve a better deal on property taxes. This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor. And I approve this message so that we can finally bring quality and efficiency to state government.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment, hour number two, wrapping up the very last bill lawmakers in the House sent to the Senate was Republican Donnie Steele's Lake Orion's House Bill 4833. The bill would allow the 48th District Court of Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham, to keep all three of its judges if the local governments that fund the court approve it. This would not have to reduce the judges even if a vacancy occurs or an incumbent doesn't seek re-election. It would remove outdated language reducing the number of judges in Pontiac's 50th district since the reduction has already occurred. As a legislator, someone who believes in limited government, I generally support efforts to reduce the size and cost of government whenever possible, Representative Steele said in her floor speech. However, the government has certain core responsibilities that must be carried out effectively. One of those responsibilities is maintaining a strong and efficient judicial system at the local level that protects our citizens and maintains law and order within our communities. Well, the bill passed 101-4. Representative Cara James DeSanta, Joseph Fox, and State Representative Matt Maddock were the four Republicans that voted against it. Well, that's it for the legislative session of what passed in the House and what is sent over to the Senate. And another kind of court case decided real quick with the upcoming 4th of July this Saturday, a state judge declined Tuesday to block a public safety advisory warning retailers against selling overloaded fireworks. These devices are known as cakes. Finding the company challenged the guidance was unlikely to prevail in court. Court of Claims Chief Judge Michael Godola said that he denied Kansas-based Jake's Fireworks request for a preliminary injunction against the June 1st advisory bulletin that was issued by the state fire marshal Thomas Hughes. Jake's Fireworks operates seven stores, retail stores, year-round in Michigan. they sued the state fire marshal who issued guidance stating that the multiple tube mine and shell devices known as cakes should not be sold to consumers if they contain more than 500 grams of pyrotechnic composition. The company argued the bulletin created a new prohibition that does not exist in the Michigan Fireworks Safety Act and contended that the federal U.S. Department of Transportation shipping classifications permits these type of products to be sold to consumers. However, Attorney General Dana Nessel, representing the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, the Bureau of Fire Services, and the Fire Marshal Hughes, argued the advisory merely explains the state's interpretation of existing laws and does not carry the force of the law itself. The Attorney General's office argued that the Michigan Fireworks Safety Act prohibits the retail sale of fireworks containing more than 500 grams of pyrotechnic composition, regardless of their federal transportation classification. The state said that the limit is consistent with standards that was put forward by the American Pyrotechnics Association for consumer-grade fireworks. In denying the injunction, the judge noted that Jake's Fireworks acknowledged that its cakes do exceed the 500-gram threshold. He concluded the company had not shown it was likely to succeed on the merits of its case and therefore denied their declaratory relief. Nessel said rules help ensure fireworks sold to consumers comply with state law ahead of this Independence Day, 4th of July holiday. Whenever handling fireworks, safety must be the top concern. And if retailers ignore these laws to sell excessively loaded fireworks, it puts the public at an increased risk of harm. The underlying lawsuit challenges the advisory board, and that remains pending in the courts. Well, two things you have to be careful of. Surrounding area as to where you're setting off these fireworks, whether it's near trees or dry leaves or whatever, and you have to have a garden hose close by or a fire extinguisher. You shoot something off, it tips over, it doesn't go up into the sky, but it starts a fire on the ground. You need to be able to put it out. Wind direction and surroundings. Very important when shooting off these consumer-purchased fireworks. We're going to shift gears a little. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that